Now, we left off talking about Noah. Do you remember Noah? He's this guy who's living righteously before God, and God comes to him and he says, things have gotten really bad. There's a lot of darkness, a lot of sin that is present here, and I'm going to judge. But Noah, if you build this big barge, this big ark, then Noah, you could be saved. And Noah, it seems that he's in the middle of a forest. He starts cutting down trees, and for decades, he's building this massive ark where it hasn't rained, where there is no flood that they've ever seen, that they could compare what God has declared to. But he works away, preaching salvation and doing the work of God. You see, faith always has a response. And what we're seeing here in Hebrews 11, one of the key things to remember as you read Hebrews 11 is this. Whenever there's a faith, there's a response. Whenever there is a God-sent belief, people are doing or saying or acting in certain ways. There's a certain action that's coming out of that. And with Noah, his faith is seen in the ark. I mean, he believed God. Well, how do we see and know? Because of the ark. The ark reveals the faith that he had. And the Bible does the same thing with Abraham in verse number 8. He's simply showing us what this strong faith looks like. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham, like Noah, is amazing because of his faith. He did a lot of amazing things. He was a very unique and special Bible character, but it's his faith, his dependence, this rock-solid trust in God, this hope in God that doesn't waver and doesn't shake that much. Now, it does shake. It does waver a little bit. He's not perfect. I mean, he has a little sojourn in Egypt, and there's little things that go on there. None of us has perfect faith, but he's got strong faith, and that's really what the Bible's showing us. What does strong faith look like? What is strong faith? What are the characteristics of it? How does it feel? How can we know it? Well, he's bringing us back to Abraham, and he's showing us that Abraham was told, Abraham, leave this comfortable life that you have. It seemed there was no poverty, no restless discontent or monotony of the daily grind with Abraham. God simply said, get thee out. No hint of persecution. God just said, go into this foreign place that you don't know anything about. And so he follows in the blackness of night. He simply packs and he leaves and he goes, trusting God, where God's going to take him. I wonder if there was a little excitement about what God was going to do, how God was going to provide, the way that God was going to work in his life. A poem says, lead thou me on. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. His faith is the first in a long chain, first link, excuse me, in a long chain where God would be known, redemption would be revealed, and lives would be brought into a state of being so pleasing to God. So when you come to the Christian life, the first step is repentance, turning from my sin, an awareness of my sin. I see it, I repent, and I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, in his blood, in the work that he did on the cross, whereby he accomplished salvation. He paid for my sin. That's the first step. But then there's ever-growing faith where I'm trusting in more and more in my life, in the journey that he has given me to live. So when we look at Abraham, if we go a little deeper this morning, when we look at him, we can gain a new insight. What is it about Abraham's faith that is unique? What are the characteristics, in other words, of strong faith? How does it appear to us? Look at verse 9. By faith he sojourned. Let me pause there for a second. A sojourn in Hebrews 11, verse 9, a sojourn is simply a trip. It's to go on a journey, a temporary journey for a while. It's kind of like going on a little holiday, going on a little trip for a couple weeks or a month or a couple months, whatever. He sojourns. That's what his life is pictured as. He is a sojourner. So his presence on this earth is a sojourn. Interesting choice of words that are present here in the Bible. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that's a tent, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them, of the same promise. Now, there's a first clue here is Abraham is living in a tent. Now, not everybody lived in tents at this point. Abraham's about 1500 BC, and there's a lot of people that live in houses, nice houses, big houses. The Bible says in Genesis 13:2 that Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. So why doesn't Abraham invest in his presence in this life? Why doesn't he establish something in this world? Why is that not his direction, his bend? See, Abraham, with his son and his grandson, has this refusal to become really immersed, to become really heavy in this world. With Abraham, there's a sense of lightness, a sense of elevation, where he knows he's on a temporary journey. He's on a sojourn. So as he's going through life and he's looking around him, he's seeing everybody else settling down and getting heavy into this life, building these places of esteem, these support structures in this life. And he is so different. He has stepped way back from that. And he's living in a tent. He's on a sojourn. He's a stranger in the land of promise. You see, people with weak faith don't see heaven. They don't realize the future that God has for them. And they're not living for it. They're living with weak faith, which means for what they have or what they can receive in this world. But when we see strong faith in Abraham here, we see the characteristic of it is there's an ability to foresee heaven. He's looking at the city whose builder and maker is God. Verse number 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, Abraham believed this very simple but life-changing truth that his presence on this earth was ever so short, but his presence in the face of God was eternal. And he embraced that by faith. He would foresee heaven, and that informed his actions. That literally changed the way that he lived, the way that he approached everything else in life. You see, when you foresee heaven, it creates within you that faith that enables you to foresee heaven. It creates within you a very different approach. Because you're going to see a city whose maker is God. You're going to see a city whose foundation will never crumble. The roof will never fall in. The things that we so hold on to bring with us, to establish us, are not there. They're not what they seem to be. When we come to become a man or a woman of faith, we're looking for that city, not an earthly city. We're looking for that journey, not a journey in this world and in this life. That's faith. That's where faith brings you. That's where faith takes you. That is the characteristic of faith. The thing about Abraham is he had faith, and that faith produced a very light touch when it came to his life in this world. He's just light. He's just kind of floating around. He's got his tent that he sets up. He's got his cattle and things like that. He's just kind of floating around, moving in these tabernacles as on a sojourn. He knows that there is something beyond it. By faith, he's looking for it, and it just informs everything else that he does. What does weak faith look like? What does it mean to not have faith? Look with me in Psalms 49 and verse number 10. You see, weak faith or no faith eventuates in a complete abandonment to my presence and my place in this world. Psalms 49 and verse number 10, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perisheth and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Andrew and I were passing out some gospel leaflets over near Marley. There are some big, beautiful houses that were there. As we were going through, I had the thought, maybe I'm right in some cases, maybe wrong, but I had the thought that some of these houses, I wonder if these are the statement of their life. This is the accumulation of their efforts. It's the culminative effort of what they have done, of how they have lived. It is the house. That's it. That is where their heart is. That is the direction and the bend of their life. Look what he says here. Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever. Now contrast that with Abraham. Abraham's living in a tent. He's on a sojourn. He's just floating around, moving with that light touch, looking for heaven, looking for the future that God has prepared for him. But when we get into the world of men who have a darkened understanding, in ignorance of what real life is, of what God is doing and how God will save them, how God will work and could save them. The Bible gives a very strong statement in verse 12. Nevertheless, that man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. I got a cute little dog, and her name is Pepper. And she is the little cutie. She is, I think, one of the nicest dogs I've ever had. I just like this particular dog. You know, every once in a while you get a good dog, bad dog, whatever through life. She's a good little dog. And she just loves attention. She can be a little spunky, not too spunky, but very, very friendly. The thing about Pepper is she has absolutely no idea what's coming next. A dog lives completely in the present. It has no idea. It can be trained a bit to about certain circumstances and situations, a little bit. But really, it has no idea of its future, of its age, of its how transient life is. It someday in 7, 8 years, 10 years, that it's going to die. And the Bible's saying that someone who lives for this world, they're putting everything into the house. They're putting everything into this dwelling, into this life. They're heavy in this life. The Bible says they're like a beast. They're like a cow. Or they're like a dog that perishes. They have no enlightenment. They have no understanding of who God is and where they're going when they die. This their way, the Bible says, is their foolishness. And yet their posterity approve their saying. Amazing. Though this be the case, the amazing thing is that generation after generation embraces it. I have a neighbor, a very sweet lady. She's getting up in age, struggling with health, and seems to be fading. And her children see that and know that. And you would think that they would learn, or that people would learn that life is transient, it is temporary. And all of that emphasis and all of that pressure that we put in this life, where we make ourselves so involved in this life, so heavy in this life, to where we're just down here constantly looking around, that you would think that it would awaken, it would reveal, it would teach about God and his way. The point is, in Psalm 49, is the darkness is inescapable. They cannot see the foolishness of an emphasis on this life. They are not enlightened by God. God has not lifted the darkness. But you and I are different. We know God, and we live by faith, and we see our future. And when I'm seeing my future, it means that I'm just light on this earth. I'm not hanging. I'm not placing all of this emphasis, this heavy presence in this world. I'm looking to my future home. I'm looking to where God has for me. Are you attached and heavy in this world? Or do you have that deep faith that sees the life in this world for what it is? There are so many good pictures of this in Ireland. Beth and I went out to Mulvaney House out in the west of Ireland. I love Ireland. I love going on trips to Ireland. I love seeing the countryside in Ireland, the people of Ireland. I just enjoy it. I love going out to the west. Yes, it rained. Yes, it was wet and kind of stormy, but it was really cool. There was a deal for 199 euros. You could get two nights and a beautiful dinner and two breakfasts, and it was just a nice trip. We came back, and it was raining a bit on Tuesday, so we went to go see the Westport House. And it's this beautiful house, beautiful. The grounds, it said that when it was in its prime, it took 50 people to maintain the gardens. 50 people. That's amazing. It's really an incredible structure, and Ireland has tons of these structures of people who built their life in this world, but they couldn't take it with them. And so in 1 Timothy 6:6, the Bible says, godliness is with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So the spiritual man, the woman or man of great faith, just has that light touch. They didn't bring anything in. They're not taking anything out. They're looking for that eternal city. And by faith, they see it. It's realized. They know it, and they recognize their life is nothing more than a sojourn, nothing more than a temporary trip. Oh, my friend, it is so important that we allow our faith to grow to the point to where we become a little detached, a little disconnected from all that this world is and all that it seems to offer, for the allurement and the pull of this world. We're just a little pulled back. I'm his. And it's his kingdom. That's where my focus is. That's where my heart is. That's where I'm going. And that's where I'm moving. Now look with me in verse 11 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse number 11. And notice what faith does in Sarah. Sarah has this miraculous faith. While Abraham is living as a sojourner on this journey looking for heaven, Sarah's trusting him, and this is the balance. She's trusting him for the strength. For though Pharaoh, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Mom's having a baby. I'm a man. Come on, men, we don't fully understand or fully know. But ladies, having a baby and having that child is just, it's a big part. It's a very, very, very important to a mom, to a woman, to become a mom. And Sarah doesn't have that opportunity. And God gives her this promise. And she's old, way past menopause, really, really old, really, really elderly. And God says, I'm going to give you that child. And she wavers. She goes to her handmaid, Hagar, and tries to have a child through her. And God says, nope. Trust me, I've got something for you, and I want you to wait on me. It's another dimension of faith. Faith has a sense of looking for heaven, but faith also has a sense of waiting while we're on this earth until God gives us what it is that we want in his perfect will. Now, this is important because faith has the possibility of affecting future generations. Faith is always durative. When you look at faith, faith is never this transient, temporary, okay, I believe. Oh, no, I don't believe. Yeah, oh, I believe. Faith is a sense of holding. It has this idea of holding on to the Lord and trusting him. So Sarah waits 25 years. She is an old, old lady. And God gives the miracle, and it is out of faith. We always focus on Abraham here, but actually it's Sarah. Sarah trusts. And God says it was her faith that brought that child of promise into being. So her and Abraham working together, trusting. Isn't there something beautiful about a couple who's where the husband and the wife love and serve the Lord together? Therefore, there sprang even of one, verse 12, him as good as dead, but so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and the sand as the sand which by the seashore innumerable. The Bible's telling us that Sarah believed, and God answered. And when he answered, it was in a miraculous way. And the Bible's teaching here that faith is so special that when you have faith and you trust God, you never know the outcome of what it's going to do. Sarah's trusting for one, Isaac, just one. But what does it say in verse 12? It says, there sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, the little grains of sand on the seashore, innumerable. When you have faith, there's no telling where it will go and what it will do. John Wycliffe translated the Bible into the English tongue in the 1300s, and he had no idea as he stepped out into the night and gave the Bible to the common man. You see, religion seeks to hide it and control it. When you came into church this morning, you'll notice there were Bibles in front of the pews, in front of the pews, chairs. Each person has a Bible. I'm preaching from the Bible. You can follow from the Bible. But in the dark ages, you didn't have access to it. And Wycliffe, and by faith, he launches out and he translates it into the tongue of the common man. And he ignites the Reformation. He had no idea where it would go and what it would do. But so is the nature of faith. When the crew of the Mayflower left Britain to seek a new world of civil and religious liberty, they had no idea what that faith would result in and where it would bring them. Caleb and I were talking on Thursday, and he told me, he said, Dad, I am so grateful that when you were younger, you decided to follow the Lord. Because if you hadn't followed the Lord, I don't know that I ever would have followed the Lord. And he talked about his pastor, whose dad was a pastor, and his pastor said the same thing about his dad. You see, you don't know, moms, where your faith is going to go. But can I tell you that when your children see faith in you, they see that you depend on him, that you are looking for that city. That is something to hold on to. That is something to stand behind. That is something that is transmitted to them. A lot of what we say and what we do will not be caught by our children. It'll pass over them. Other influences will wash it out, but your faith will stand. The faith that you live in front of them, it is undeniable. They cannot stand against it. It is there. It is a living reality that you believe, that you are walking by faith. And that's the point that he's making here. Faith produces a legacy. So Abraham has a legacy and an eternal home. But it's coming right down here and it's saying, on your life on this earth, there can be a legacy that you have. That is so important. I say and stress that parents, your children are in Irish schools and many good things in Irish schools. But Irish schools also are teaching the LGBTQ, whatever Q agenda, the homosexual agenda. It's there. The schools were recently plastered with leaflets. That is being presented in the schools as an alternative to a man and a woman getting married. And legitimate alternative, around them, there's like this huge stream that's going this way. Imagine it this way. You're standing in the Shannon River, and say you could stand up to your thigh, or maybe up to your waist, and the river's coming by you. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons are flowing around you, but you're holding that back. You're standing against it, and you're actually kind of moving against it. That's your children. They're standing in the river, and everything that's going by them is saying, this is the way to go. This is the thing that you need to do. They so need to see faith in you, that you truly trust God. You're living out faith in front of them. They need to touch that. They need to see that, because everything else is trying to wash them out, trying to take them down the river. My friend, it is Sarah's faith that stands, that produces a child. And the power of faith is absolutely astounding. You never know what your faith is going to do. When you live by faith and those children see it, you never know how deep that's going to go. You never know how far that's going to go. I want to show you something kind of cool here. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. These children of faith, of Sarah's faith, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but in having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them. What's his point by not having received the promises? I thought if I believed, I received the promises. Small faith. Small faith evaporates if it doesn't get the promise. Well, I trusted God and it didn't come through. But strong faith, even when it's hard, even when the answer isn't obvious, or even when the answer never comes, it still believes. You see, the descendants of faith, of Sarah's children of faith, they have this amazing faith. This is really cool. They have a faith that absolutely goes beyond their parents. Look at what they're doing. They're trusting, even though there is no evidence, even though there is no outward sign of a reward. It's the miraculous answer to faith. Can I tell you that when your children catch faith and they begin to live by faith, that is an awesome, powerful, explosive thing. Think of my own children, Rebecca and Caleb and Andrew, and their faith. Can I tell you, sometimes it humbles me. Sometimes I'm humbled by their faith, their commitment, and their trust. When the children see your faith, they're growing in faith, and they can go actually beyond you. And they could have a faith that astounds you, that absolutely amazes you. And I'll show you how it actually reveals itself. Look at the end of verse 13. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Pilgrim. What is a pilgrim? Temporary dweller. Migrant worker. Here for a little time, but this isn't the final place. Just passing through. Do you see it? See the faith of Abraham. He's dwelling in tents, sojourning. The children of faith, they are strangers, aliens, pilgrims. I want to read you a quote from a guy who lived in the 200s, second century. And he says, in the epistle to Diognetus, he says this about Christians. They inhabit their own country, but as sojourners. They take part in all things as citizens and endure all things as aliens. Let me say that again. They take part in all things as a citizen, but endure all things as an alien. Every foreign country is theirs, and every country is foreign. They're there, but they're not of them. And the further you go in faith, the more a sense of strangeness and a sense of distance with this world and the people in this world is going to come. In other words, you're going to be more and more strange to your unsaved relatives. You're going to be more and more strange to the people that you've known for years and years. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. You're in a heavenly country. You've got a heavenly journey. Do you see that? They confess, these children of faith, they're a stranger. They're just passing through. Their home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue, as the hymn writer wrote. With each passing year, you should find yourself becoming more and more detached, distant, strange, removed from this world. Not heavy. Like when I get heavy in this world, coveting, wanting, lusting, heavy in this world, faith is weak. My faith grows. I'm looking for the eternal city. I'm looking for my home in heaven. Man, can I tell you, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward. This old body's getting old. It's passing. We're not going to be here forever, folks. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to my home. And as my faith grows, I'm getting more and more detached. I'm more and more a stranger. I don't fit into this world. We don't. We're the believers. And that's why it's so important. When you come to church, we rub shoulders as believers. We're all Christians. And we're talking about our faith, our journey, our trust. They're on that journey, and we're on that journey. We go outside these walls, and whew, it ain't that way. They got the house named after them. They think it's going to live forever. And we got that light touch. We're the strangers. We're the pilgrims. That's why when you come to church and we play the piano or the music, where it's Christian music. I mean, it accompanies hymns in heaven. There's preaching of the word. We dress up for church. I wear a suit. And because it's, you know, you don't have to wear a suit. It's fine if you don't have a suit. You can come in shorts, whatever. But I'm just saying that, I mean, this is church. This is about the Lord. There's real peace. There's real love. There's real joy. There's real life that is present in this house because we're on a journey. We're just sojourning. We're all just here for a while, going together down that road, standing in the middle of the stream, going against it. You know what it means, ladies? You don't have to be afraid to be yourself. Our world is constantly trying to turn ladies into men and men into ladies. And ladies, it's okay to be a lady, beautiful, modest, but the keeper of the home, the one God that God created you, distinctly feminine. Man, we can be distinctly masculine, strong, but gentle, a leader and a servant in our homes. Our children can be honoring to God, respectful to authority, who follow the leadership of their parents. Peace can rule because we trust him. We don't have expectations about this life and what it is that we're going to get. See, faith is just so transformational. Faith will enable you to forsake the materialism. It'll give that light touch in this world. It will bring about results that amaze. Faith will bring about the generation to follow, and it will bring about a generation that is a stranger and a foreigner in this world. It will produce a life and an approach that is so pleasing to God. So in the closing here, look with me to the latter part of these verses, verse 14, 15, and 16. For they that say such things, of Hebrews 11, 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. All that means is the country they're seeking is not the country they came out of. If they were mindful, if they were heavy in this world, they may have been pulled to return. But they have strong faith. But now they desire, by faith, a better country. That is, an heavenly country. You ever get discouraged with the way things are going in our world? We're informed by politicians and journalists. It just seems to go so against who we are and the way that the Lord is leading and the way that the Lord is working in the world which is around us. Do you desire that heavenly country? Has your faith informed you? Do you foresee heaven? And are you allowing that to produce a life, to produce an approach to the way that you live in your family, the way that you live in your estate? Oh, my friend, when we foresee heaven, God rolls back the curtain and we get a view and we are ever stranger, ever more removed. And so don't fight it. As you follow the Lord, you're getting stranger. You're a peculiar people, the Bible says. You're unique. You're redeemed. You're the chosen. You're the child of God. And as such, you have a future that is glorious and that is beautiful and that is amazing. So let this picture of strong faith inform you. Let it reveal where faith is going to take you and yield to God as he brings you on this journey of faith, because it's going to lead you to that light touch, that distance with the money and the stuff that everybody else is looking to, that steep faith. It's going to turn things around and do what only faith can do. It's going to touch the hearts of children, our children, the hearts of children in this church. That deep faith is just a living memorial to them. It speaks to them. It teaches them. It shows them what faith is and what faith can do. Look at the building, how we, by faith, amazing. Hey, if you didn't, the business meeting is tonight at 5:00. Come on out. We're going to talk about it. It's pretty amazing what happened. By faith, it's a memorial. It teaches us what faith can do. Your kids need to see that faith, because when they do, touch that faith that's in you, that faith can grow into a multitude, and it can eventuate into strangers and pilgrims looking for that heavenly country. And God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Literally, it means. Now, I think what he's saying here is that it means that God has a special place for them who've lived by faith in him, because he so loves and so rewards faith. It is faith in your heavenly home. Faith in what awaits that will enable you to have the right approach by life. That faith is so important. How deep is your faith this morning? How deep is your dependence on him? In your home, in your relationship with your spouse, are you the woman of faith, the man of faith? You're living by faith. My friend, that is the spark. That is the thing that ignites change in those that are around us. When they see that faith, it touches. My friend, your faith is powerful. And I pray that all of us would be seeing and understanding what deep faith is, so that our approach to life is informed by that understanding. Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.